hearts of Cana, the clay upon the ground, the withered hand of a wounded man, ears that had never heard sound, eyes that had never seen the light of day. When they encountered Jesus, they were never the same way. Everything he touched, he changed. Nothing that felt his love ever remained the same. He made it new, he healed, he saved, he turned it all around. Everything he touched, he changed.
The cross that was the instrument of death became a symbol of life as he breathed his last breath.
The splintered wood that held the King of Glory on that tree now stands for our salvation and hope for eternity. Everything he touched, he changed. Nothing that felt his love ever remained the same. He made it new, he healed, he saved, he turned it all around. Everything he touched, he changed. The pieces of my life that were scattered around, the lonely shell, my restless heart, the peace I had not found, were all erased when I encountered Jesus back that day. He put me back together, and I've never been the same. Everything he touched, he changed. Nothing that felt his love ever remained the same. He made it new, he healed, he saved, he turned it all around. Everything he touched, he changed. He made it new, he healed, he saved, he turned it all around. Everything he touched, he changed.
Thank you for that special. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans in chapter 5 this morning. Romans chapter 5, and we'll be looking at verses 19 through 21. For this morning's text, Romans chapter 5, verse 19. When you find your place there, if you would please stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. I'll read aloud as you follow along in your copy of the Word of God. The Bible says this: "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you for a great day in your house, for the singing, for the all that's gone on, the Sunday school hour. Lord, I ask you would be with every part of the service and the different services that are going on around the property. But Lord, help us to focus in this morning on your word and what it says. Lord, be with Pastor Becker as he preaches. Fill him with your spirit. Use him in a mighty way, we ask, and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open to the book of Romans. Please there, Romans chapter number 5, and I want to give you a thought really quick before we continue there. And tomorrow night and Tuesday night we have revival services here with Pastor Treiber, and it's not a time we usually do announcements, but I want to encourage you with this thought. about being in church. I'm thankful that you're here on a rainy Sunday morning. I was getting up this morning looking at the weather and thinking, I don't know if anyone's going to show up today. And then I thought, I don't know if I'm going to show up today. And I thought, I probably should. And why is that funny? I don't know. But I want to encourage you. We have church tonight, and tonight the Lord has laid a message on my heart that I believe would help to prepare our hearts. We have revival meetings coming up, and we can schedule revival meetings, but it's just scheduled unless if God does work in our hearts. And I want to encourage you to be here tonight at 6 o'clock, and then we're going to mess with you a little bit, and then we have service Monday and Tuesday at 6:30, revival meetings. So I want to encourage you to be here and pray that God does a work in your heart. But here's the thing, though. I'm praying that God does a work in my heart. This isn't just for you. This is for me, and I pray that God would do something special. Again, this evening, we'll kind of start this off tonight, and God has directed me, as I believe would be helpful for us as we prepare for this time. And then Monday, Tuesday night, 6:30, best you can be here. I know for some that may not be able to work schedule, and I know it's going to be raining, and if you can get here safely in the rain, if you can be here, that would be a blessing, and that would be an encouragement. And so anyway, just want to encourage you about that thought as we get started this morning. As you look at these verses again, I want to read these verses again. It says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Think about the difference that one person makes. One person does make a difference. Your life makes a difference. And as by one man's disobedience, we all were affected by that. But aren't you thankful for that one? Are you thankful for that one that through his obedience, many were made righteous? And if you know that you're saved, can I hear an amen this morning? Amen. By God, by Jesus Christ's obedience, many were made righteous. You realize that God does not force the gift of salvation upon anyone. But you think about this, though, that Jesus died for those that would accept him, and he died for those that would reject him. He loves those that would accept him and believe in him, and he loves those that reject him even still and that turn away from the Lord. He loves you even still. But look at verse number 20 here. It says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." Look at this, though. "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Do you know what? Other than the Garden of Eden, where God made Adam and Eve perfect in the Garden of Eden, the only people to know a perfect marriage and perfect family until they sinned, after that, all that mankind is known as is sin. We look at the world today and say it's worse than it's ever been, and I believe that's true. But can you tell me a time where it's ever been good? Can you tell me a time where there's been no sin? Where there's been people that didn't reject the Lord and shake their fist at God? There's never been a time like that. But the Bible says this, where sin abounded, where sin is all over the place. Look at this, though. Grace did much more abound. God's grace is greater. Miss Robinson sings that song, but his grace is greater. But he is greater. And aren't you thankful for that grace, that amazing grace that we sang about today? The amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Think about this, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. The amazing grace that God offers to all, I want you to think about this, has appeared to you. The grace that God offers to everyone, well, you think, well, it is for everyone, it is, but make it personal, but it's for you. It's for me today, that God's grace, although sin abounded, and you think, yeah, because there's sin everywhere. No, the sin abounded in my life. Just as much as yours. And where sin abounded in my life, Jesus died to came and he came to save sinners. As Paul said, of whom I am chief. Before we think we're better than anyone else, that sin did abound. Maybe you got saved at a young age. Maybe you got saved before you had maybe a life of sin. Or maybe God changed your life around from where it was. And it was maybe on a wrong path. And the Bible says his grace did much more abound. That grace is greater than all our sin. We sing about the songs of grace and think about that, about the grace of God. Grace is this. Grace is unmerited and undeserved favor. Undeserved favor in a world where we deserve everything for nothing. We deserve everything. You know, free rent, free car, you know, free phone, free everything, free healthcare. Just give me it all for free. Think about this, though, that God's grace. And think about this, though. Nothing is really free. Anything that's given out to you that says free on it, someone's paying for it. Or it's just compounding the debt in our country that will pay off maybe in the next 10,000 years. Who knows? But the Bible says that grace did much more abound. This grace is undeserved favor. Undeserved favor. And the grace that we have came at a price. Jesus Christ, he showed the grace that he came, that mercy and his love, where he died on the cross to pay for our sins. And he showed us that amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Grace is a gift that we don't deserve, that was given to us by God. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve the love of God. We don't deserve the favor of God. We don't deserve the blessings of God. And we don't deserve the salvation of God either. And sometimes we get used to it. And all of us do at times, where we just think, well, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm a Christian. And I know that. But think about what you're saying today. We're taking God's grace for granted. We're taking God's grace for granted. I don't deserve the love of God. Picture the Savior on the cross that day. The crucifixion that he went through for you and me. I don't deserve that grace. I don't deserve that love. But that was where sin abounded. Grace did much more abound. Where he was beaten and mocked and ridiculed and spat upon and rejected by all, other than a few that sat there at the foot of the cross, that grace did much more abound. As Jesus was on the cross, what did he do? He looked around and he ridiculed and condemned every person around, didn't he? No, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the grace of God that he offers to us. Undeserved favor on my life. I don't deserve the grace of God, but he has bestowed that upon me either way. Undeserved favor. It's been said before that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is undeserved favor. I want to talk to you this morning about this amazing grace. And it is amazing. Isn't it amazing to you today? Have you got over the fact that you're saved and that you're a child of God and that you get to talk to God and you get to go to church and hold a Bible in your hand? Or has it just become just everyday life? Or is it still amazing that God's grace abounds in our life? Great. I want to talk to you about this today, about God's grace. God's grace has appeared to all men. This amazing grace has appeared to all men, it says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You realize this, that sin came by one man. Back in verse number 12, it says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. How would you like to be that one person? For the rest of time, everyone's going to look back to Adam and Eve. You're going to look back, and you want to blame on Adam. Do you want to blame it on Eve? You can blame it on either or both. And if it was you and I, we'd have done the same thing. Think about it. They had one rule. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But if you had, you think, how easy would that be if you had one rule? If there was one rule, you and I would still break it. We would fail and we would fall just as quick as any other person. So before you condemn others, realize we're just the same. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. And look at this, death by sin. Didn't God warn them about that? Didn't God tell them, in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely what? Die. He said, you will die. And he warned him. He put him in a perfect place. He gave him one rule, said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, in the day you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. He warned them. And the Bible says, and they sinned. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. We're all in the same boat. And here's the thing, though. Even as sinners, God still offers his grace upon us. You think about God as he created man, and man sinned and turned his back on God. God could have said, well, forget you then. Well, I'm done. You made your mistakes. You know, you made your bed. You sleep in it now. You're stuck with it now. But God said, even before time, he knew they'd fail. And he knew he'd have to send his son. And God's love and God's grace would appear to all men. The choice of one person has affected us all. God's grace has appeared to all of us. Sin came by one person. And we are all sinners because of that. And this sin is passed upon the bloodline of mankind. And you don't have to teach someone to sin. They sin naturally. We do that. You wake up a sinner. You go to sleep a sinner. And I'm not talking about your spouse. But we're sinners by nature. You don't have to even think about it. We just sin naturally. Someone says, don't look, and what do we want to do? We want to look. They say, don't touch. What do you want to do? You want to touch. Why? Because we are all sinners. We all have that same sin nature. So before you think that you're better than another person, the Bible says, if we're guilty in one point of the law, we're guilty of all. One sin will condemn you to a place called hell, the Bible says. But God's grace has appeared to all men. But I love the second part of the verse, though. It says, but by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You realize that none of us can earn and attain righteousness on our own. You can't go to church enough to be made righteous or to be perfect. You can never be, God will never be pleased in his eyes looking at us by the works that we can do. And that's why the obedience of the Savior, Jesus Christ, came, and he was obedient to the death of the cross. He went through that for us, and Jesus died for all mankind. Think about the verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the what? The world. He loved the world. You say, was that past? Yes. Is that present? Yes. Is that future? Yes. That's all mankind, that God so loved the world. That God loves everyone. Again, that was those that choose to love him back and those that reject him. He chose to love those that would accept his salvation and those that would reject it. He chose to love. The death of Jesus Christ, just as one man's sin affected all mankind, the death of Jesus Christ affected all mankind as well. The greatest event in human history was the cross. We talked about it this morning with the Lord's Supper today, but Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross for you and I. The book of Titus chapter 2 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. It's appeared to all men. God's salvation isn't just good for the Israelites, but it's good for the Gentiles. It's good for every nation. It's good for every age. It's good for every gender. It's good for every person that thinks that they're the best sinner and the person that thinks that they might be the worst sinner. That God's grace has appeared to all men, the Bible says. It's appeared to everyone. God's grace has appeared. You say, well, I wasn't at the cross that day. I didn't see him, but we can read about him. We have the Word of God to show us about God's grace. Let me ask you this morning. God's grace has appeared to all men. We mentioned it this morning already with the Lord's Supper. You remember the day that you got saved? You remember the day that the grace of God appeared to you? You didn't know about the Savior. You didn't know about heaven and hell. You were lost. You were hopeless. There was nothing in sight. But then someone told you about the Savior that loves you, that died for you, that gives you that hope of the escape of hell by the gift and the grace of God, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I remember that day. I remember realizing I was a sinner, that I was lost. I remember knowing I deserved to spend eternity in a place called hell, and that was as a young boy, and I realized that's what I deserved. And I could have asked the Lord to save me that night. I didn't on a Saturday night. The next day in church, I thought, when the service gets done, I know at the invitation time they ask if you want to be saved to come forward. And I thought, I can't wait. I can't wait. I couldn't wait to come forward. I was as shy and as backward as anyone could be. But when that piano started to play and I came forward and I said, I've got to receive the gift and the grace of God. And a man took me to a side room and I bowed my head and asked the Lord to come into my heart. And that day, grace appeared in my life. Do you remember the day that you got saved? You remember the day that salvation came into your life? You say, well, I remember that. That was many years ago. Have you forgotten that? About the goodness and the grace of God? That by the grace of God, you received salvation, but also the grace of God, you're still saved today. Because God's grace I could have received salvation, and God could have said, once you get saved, you can never sin again. God could have told us that, but he didn't do that. He said, once you get saved, that's the gift of eternal life. Eternal life begins at the moment of your salvation. When you get saved, your soul will never die. You'll be in heaven with God forever, for all eternity. Do you remember the grace of God that appeared in your life? You think about this amazing grace, grace that's appeared to all men, but also the grace that is greater than all our sin. The Bible says where sin abounded, where sin increased, grace did much more abound. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. As you look at this world today, and you look about how sin abounds, the devil is good at what he does. And the devil is always looking to increase the sinful nature of mankind. And he's good at what he does, the temptation and the sin that the devil brings and puts in this world. And today, in today's day and age, we promote sin. We glorify sin. We advertise sin. We talk about how great this sin is going to be in your life. But the Bible talks about something different. Again, the wages of sin is death, the Bible said. The world praises it and said, oh, we're proud of you. Man, we're so proud of you for coming out and glorifying that wicked lifestyle. And God says that sin is what's going to send you to a place called hell. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know that we're undeserving of salvation. Even by one sin, we don't deserve salvation. We're undeserving of it. Maybe you've told one little white lie in your life, and there's not a single person in this room that's only told one little lie in their whole life, to the point to where someone maybe could have taken someone's life. Everyone in between, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. We live in a world that glorifies sin. Over 141,000 Americans each year die from alcohol abuse. And yet we glorify sin. We praise it to have a great time, to have a wonderful time. Without alcohol, what would the world do with that? Over 600,000 abortions a year in America alone. That's the world that we live in. But the grace of God has appeared to all men. Even for those that have chosen a wicked lifestyle, maybe turned from God, God still says, I still love you. But I still died for you. And I still offer you the grace of God when it comes to salvation. The book of Genesis talks about Noah. And it says, and God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth. This was back in Genesis chapter number 6. And the wickedness was great. And that every imagination of the thoughts of man were evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. We praise sin and it grieves the heart of God. It hurts the heart of God. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. And it repenteth me that I have made man. I love this verse though. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God looked upon all mankind and said, it's wicked. And it repented God. God repented that he even made mankind. It was so wicked upon the earth. What is God thinking today when he looks out here? What is God thinking when he looks at our country and this world and he looks at the wickedness of mankind? It hurts the heart of God. It grieves the heart of God. That's what nailed God the Father looks down and he turned his back on his son because the sins of mankind came upon him at that moment and darkness covered the face of this earth. That's what our sin did. It nailed him to that cross. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because there was a man that stood for right in a wicked world. You say, well, this is the world we live in and it's just how we live. But you can live different than the world. You can live different from the world. God's grace is greater than all our sin. The book of Acts says that great grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon them all. Aren't you thankful for the great grace, the undeserved favor of God upon our lives? There is no sin that God will not forgive. The book of Isaiah says, all we like sheep, all. That word all means all. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone and to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep have gone astray. Hey, before we think we're good, we're not. Our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. God is not pleased with our good works when it comes to our salvation. Only by the cross will you receive salvation. There is no sin that God will not forgive. The Bible says in the book of 1 John, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from, what's the next word? All unrighteousness. Some would come to God and say, well, I'm too good. I don't need salvation. Well, that's a fool. A fool will come before God and think you're as good as the perfect Son of God that came to die for us. Only a fool would do that. But also on the other side, some would say, well, I'm too bad. Look what I've done. If I've done all this, God could never save me. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That God is willing to forgive every sin in a moment. How could God do that? Because He shed His blood. The perfect blood of Jesus Christ was shed for us. The Bible says if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Some that come before God and say, well, I'm good. I've not done anything wrong. God says, you're a liar. We're calling God a liar if we say that we have done no sin. There is no sin that God will not forgive, and there's no sinner that God will not save. There is no sinner that God will not save. There's not a single person that would come before God and would bow their knee and bow their heart and believe and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, ask Him to come into their heart. There's not a single person that God would not save. You may think, well, they're too far gone. Well, that's what you say. That's not what God says. That's the grace of God, that undeserved favor. Is it deserved? No. But is it grace? Yes, it is. And the grace of God hath appeared to all men. We see that God's grace appeared to all men. It's greater than our sin. And then lastly, that God's grace leads us to holiness. Look at verse number 21 in our passage here. It says that as sin hath reigned unto death. To reign is to take control, to be king. And where sin can take control and it can reign in our lives if we allow it. Sin ever taking control of your life? Taken over to the point where you thought, well, it's not that big of a sin. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, I know it's wrong, but I can control it, some may say. I can handle it. I mean, it's not an addiction. It's just something I can turn off and on when I want to. The Bible says that as sin hath reigned unto death, the punishment we deserve, even so might grace, look at this, reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That we receive the grace of God, and that where the grace of God comes into our life, and grace will reign through righteousness unto eternal life. Grace leads us to holiness. When we get saved, that grace, by the grace of God, we receive salvation. We receive eternal life. And some may say, well, once saved, always saved. Now I get to do whatever I want. But the Bible says that we have a Father, that as we're God's child and as a Son, He's our Father, and He correcteth and chasteneth everyone whom He receiveth. Sure, you can do what you want. You have that free will. But God has the free will as well to chastise and to correct and to punish the things that are done that are wrong. And some may think, well, I can do what I want. Look at chapter 6, verse number 1. It says, what shall we say then? You know, we have eternal life, the grace of God, it reigns in my body. It's now taking control. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You say, I can just continue in my sin. I don't have to change anything. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse number 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? See, God saves us. He's given us eternal life. But God said, I want you to live a holy life. He said, I don't want you to live like a lost person. We're supposed to be a new creature. Old things passed away. All things become new. Why? Because of the grace of God. By the grace of God, I'm saved. By the grace of God, I can live a holy and a separated life, knowing that God has a purpose and a plan for my life. Shall we continue in sin? Are we just going to live in our sin? Are we just going to allow it? Are we going to let sin reign and take control of our bodies and of our lives as a Christian? Hey, that's what the world does. That's what the lost people do. Well, how about as a Christian, we live different? How about we live a holy life and let grace, by the grace of God, let holiness and righteousness reign in your body. Once saved, always saved. It doesn't change that. That's the grace of God. But the grace of God also wants to do a work in your life after salvation. Hey, that's where the grace of God, it begins there, but it continues. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The grace of God is this, that God puts up with me every day. And that God puts up with you every day, right? And we say, God, I don't deserve it today. I don't deserve your salvation. I don't deserve your love. I don't deserve your plan for my life. I don't deserve your blessings, your protection. I don't deserve any of that today. By the grace of God, God as your Father and you as his child, he nurtures you, he loves you, he directs you, he corrects you as needed. That's a sign of the love of God. Why does God do that? Because of the grace of God. Grace is not an excuse to sin, but grace is an opportunity to live a new life through him. Grace is not deserved. Grace is not earned. Grace is freely given, and grace is personally received. You have to receive the gift of the grace of God when it comes to your salvation. But once we get saved, we don't say, well, God, now I get to do whatever I want. That's where the Christian life begins. Hey, Jesus did everything on the cross. He paid for your salvation. He saved you. Once you're saved, the rest of your life, with God's help, now the work begins for you to be more like Christ. That's the grace. That's the amazing grace of God. Aren't you thankful for his amazing grace today? It is amazing grace. How sweet the sound. The grace of God. Head bowed and eyes closed, please. We'll begin the invitation time. If God has spoken to your heart, the invitation time is a time to respond to the Lord. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Do we deserve salvation? No. Do we deserve the love of God? Not a bit. But God offers it, and he gave it. I'd be a fool to reject the grace of God. I'd be a fool to die in my sin if I was lost. I'd be a fool to turn from God and to say, God, I don't want your love. I don't want eternal life in heaven. I don't want the life that you have. I'd be a fool to do that. God offers that free gift of salvation to you. God offers you a new life after salvation, not as a part of your salvation. You don't have to earn it, but God offers you the grace of God to help you to work at your Christian life after that as well. The grace of God, undeserved, unmerited favor. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you don't know that you're saved today, would you trust in Christ alone? Ask him to come into your heart. Believe in your heart and Jesus alone. Ask him to save you. If you've never trusted in Christ alone as your Savior, heads bowed or eyes closed, no one's looking around, would you slip your hand up so I could pray for you? If you say, I don't know I'm saved, but I'd like to know that, slip your hand up and put it down. I don't know that I'm saved, but I'd like to know that. I'd like for God to do work in my heart to know that I'm saved and go into heaven. Maybe God's working on your heart about your life after salvation. Shall we continue in sin? The Bible says, God forbid. God, would you please do work at this invitation time this morning? Would you work on hearts and lives and draw us closer to you? Again, thank you for the amazing, wonderful grace of God. Head bowed and eyes closed. Would you stand to your feet, please, this morning? If God has spoken to your heart, the invitation time is a time to respond. And you can come and have a time of prayer here. You can pray in your seat as well. But I encourage you to come forward to spend time and pray before the Lord. Head bowed and eyes closed. As the ladies begin to play, would you please come? If you need someone to pray with, if you need someone to talk to you about how to know for sure that you're going to heaven, now's the time. Don't wait. Don't put it off till another day, another time. That time may never come. If God is working on your heart, would you respond right now that God would speak to you? Verse of invitation, if you need to spend time with the Lord, again, you can talk to the Lord right there, but if you come forward and spend time with God as well, if you need something we can help you with, pray with you about, come and see Brother James. We'd love to help you this morning. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the amazing grace, the love of God. Thank you for this morning to be in church, for the faithfulness of your people. Bless the morning and the remainder of the service, we pray in your name. Amen. A couple announcements for you quickly. We'll be dismissed. Service tonight at 6 o'clock, and then Monday and Tuesday at 6:30. And so I want to encourage you to be there each night with Pastor Treiber from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara. Pastor Treiber's pastored there for maybe 45 years or so, and has been a huge influence on our church, Pastor Johnson, my life, and you don't want to miss it. If you're able to be here, you don't want to sit and watch at home. You want to be here, and we've been praying, and I encourage you to pray that God work on your heart and use this service Monday and Tuesday at 6:30. We've asked him to bring some books that you could look at to purchase, and they're going to bring a number of books. So if you'd like to purchase those, if you bring cash or check, we might have an electronic form of payment. We're not positive on that, but if you bring that, some great books that can be an encouragement and help to your Christian walk. But also, after each service, we have a bake sale fundraiser Monday and Tuesday for our teen missions trip, to where you can get some goodies to eat on the drive home, or to hide in your pocket so your kids don't see it, whatever one you want to do. So we'll have two things for purchase after the service: the bake sale fundraiser, and then also books to purchase as well. So that's Monday and Tuesday at 6:30. Thank you so much for being here this morning and for being faithful to the house of God. Brother Myers, would you lead us in a word of prayer? If you would come up here and lead us in prayer as we dismiss.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we've had this morning to be in your house, Lord, to hear your man preach, to teach, and have us to hear what you have for us, God. I pray that each and every heart was stirred by it. God, as we prepare ourselves for this revival coming up over the next few days as well, God, be with Pastor Treiber. Just give him the words to say, to convict us, to give us what we need to hear and be able to grow in your grace and your knowledge, we pray. So God, just go with us today and bring us safely back once again this evening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.